My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we begin looking at the book of Ephesians, starting today, moving forward for several of our summer months that remain, taking a look at what it is that God has to tell us, what it is that Paul wrote to the congregation in Ephesus and to the surrounding area. If you haven't noticed yet, on page 12 of your worship bulletin, there is a brief summary of the book of Ephesians. And the idea behind it all, praise God, we are His church. Today particularly, we take a look at praising God for what He has done because He has elected us as His church. Which really leads me into a question. How many of you have given the option would want to know what your future holds? Be able to know what's coming, not just days in advance, but coming months and maybe even years in advance, knowing where your life will lead you, how it all will end. I think all of us, to some degree, would like to be able to plan for the future, to be able to shape things according to our will. If we know where we're going to be, if we know what's going to happen tomorrow, we can make arrangements for it today so that everything works out in our favor. But I think, at least for me, when it comes down to what I want to know what the future holds, it all depends on if I have any power or control over changing it. Sure, if I can plan for tomorrow, if I can make arrangements today to make it so that a year from now everything works out because I know where I'm going, well, that's one thing. But if my future has been set by the will of some great divine creator of all things, if my future is set in stone and nothing I do is going to be able to change any of it, I don't really know if I want to know. Sure, maybe I'd like to know that everything's going to work out okay, but do I really want to know every trial, every hardship, every trouble, or would I rather have it just happen? Because let's face it, if we knew that bad was going to come over the next year, we're going to be dwelling on it until the moment it comes. We're going to stress ourselves out about everything that we can't control and what we don't have any power over. Just tell me the end result. Read to me, God, the final chapter, and I'll be satisfied. Let me know that in the end, everything's going to be okay, and I think I can get through it. What's interesting is as we take a look in Scripture, particularly as we take a look at what it is that Paul writes here in the very first chapter to the Ephesians, we realize that if this is God saying, guess what? Everything's going to work out in the end. I already know what your future is, and it's going to be fine. You don't need to know all of the details on what's going to get you there because you know the end result is going to be in your favor because God, this great creator that we talked about, the one who has placed all things under His control, the one who knows what our future will be, He's the one who said, and I will work all things for the good of those who love me. I already have a plan for you. I already have a purpose for you. And I know where you will end your story. And it's going to be great. In fact, what is awesome is as we take a look at this first chapter of Ephesians, we get a chance to see your future from God's perspective and what He has done to make sure you're taken care of. That's why the church responds. That's why we, as God's church, sing His praises today. I mean, that's what the book of Ephesians is all about. Praise the Lord. Praise the God who created us because He has made us His. And today, because He knows our future. Because He's arranged it for our benefit. Because God chose you to be His. Let's take a look again at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He did this when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy and blameless in His sight." God chose you. He chose you. And he chose to bless you with every single blessing. Spiritual blessing. Heavenly places. Those are all words that Paul is using here. One, to get our mind off of the fact that God is concerned about making sure that we are blessed with numerous blessings here on earth. Whether that's the case or not doesn't matter here, because what Paul is focusing on, what God truly focuses on, isn't your life here, but your life to come. And did you catch on to when God chose you? Did you hear what Paul said about that? God chose you before the creation of the world. Isn't that amazing? God chose you. He picked you. He elected you. That's what we call it. It's the doctrine of election. God chose you to be His before the world was even created. Before you were ever even thought of, before you took your first breath, God had already chosen you to be His child. Chosen you to live out eternity with Him in heaven. Because He knew what was coming. God, before He even created the world, knew that Satan, that great enemy, who thought he was on God's level, thought he was equal to God, and in some cases probably even thought he was better than God. He knew that Satan would corrupt the world that he would create. That he would drive people into sin. And that he, God, would need to do something about it. That he would need to bring about salvation and life. And so before everything even happened, God had a plan. We could debate all day the fact that if God knew that the world was going to fall into sin, why did He create it anyway? Or why didn't He prevent Satan from causing Adam and Eve to fall into sin? And if God is truly loving, then why do He allow all this to happen? That is a discussion for a different day. Let's focus on the positive here. Because that's what Paul does. Paul focuses on the positive. God chose you to have every spiritual blessing through faith. To have the promise of heaven. God chose you before the world began that you would be His. That you would live out eternity with Him in heaven. That you would have all of His blessings. That's pure gospel grace. Because think about it for a moment. If God chose you before the world was created, what does it mean about how you got your salvation? If you're not around yet, if you haven't taken your first breath yet, if you haven't done anything yet, how is it that any of us could be saved by what we do? We haven't done anything. And yet God chose us. Which means it must be by God's choice and not by our own work. It must be by God's grace, that undeserved love to sinful mankind, that you and I have that promise of eternal life. Not based upon what we do and how we act. This is why we were chosen. Because God decided to. Because God chose you. Which also gives us amazing hope and confidence. Because if God made the choice to choose you, it means He's not going to change His mind. We're not going to do something so great, so evil, so terrible that He decides that we're no longer worthy of being chosen. Because it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. That's what's so awesome, so amazing about this idea that God chose you, because then it doesn't depend on me. Because let's face it, if it depends on human beings, you're going to mess it up. We always do. We always have. Adam and Eve even messed it up. They were perfect. Because we're not God. And we're not on His level. And we're corruptible. Especially now that sin dwells within us and lives among us. We're so corruptible. And we turn ourselves over to that which God has said don't do. Which is why it's so wonderful and so great that God says, I'm going to make it so it doesn't depend on you. God chose you. Because He wanted to. And that means we get all of the blessings. We get all of the glory. Because God elected you. How does it come about though? Because there is still this problem of sin. There is still this problem of judgment. Those who sin deserve hell. God has still stated that. He hasn't changed his mind on that. So this choosing of us, this salvation that we get, has to come from somewhere. And as is God's way, He has a plan. This is His plan. Picking back up with really the very end of verse 4, in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. He did this in accordance with the good purpose of His will and for the praise of His glorious grace, which He has graciously given us in the one He loves. In Him we also have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in keeping with the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. And He continues to talk about the same thing. How does it come to us? This also is why we as the church praise our God, why we give Him thanks for all that He has done, because we have been saved through the blood of Christ. This is God's plan. Think about it this way. God is the most amazing chess player you've ever seen. You know anything about chess? Maybe you know how the pieces move, but if you go any farther than that, you realize that chess isn't about taking the other player's pieces. Sometimes it's about losing your own pieces. It's about thinking 5 moves, 10 moves, 15 moves ahead. It's about knowing the way the game is going to go before your opponent even does anything. And it's constant move and remove. It's a strategy game. God's the greatest strategist you've ever seen. Before the game even started, He knew how Satan was going to play, and He already knew how He beat him. And God has been moving every single piece in this story of human history. He's been placing everything in way just as it was supposed to be. Later on, Paul even talks about when the time was right, He put His greatest piece on the board. His own Son, Jesus. Does He use Him to conquer everything? He sacrifices Him. Because that is how He would assure Himself victory. The sacrifice of His greatest peace, Jesus Christ, His own blood shed on the cross. And that is what assured God victory. It's what assures us victory, because He was playing for us. God is the greatest strategist. He knew before the creation of the world that you would be His. He knew before the creation of the world how the world would unfold and how everything would end. And He's always been moving behind the scenes to make sure it turns out exactly the way we need it to turn out. Exactly the way He intends it to work out. Jesus Christ. That's why we're chosen by God. That is how we are now saved. We're redeemed by His blood and by His sacrifice on that cross. It's pure grace. It's pure gospel. This is why we celebrate. This is why we praise our Creator. It's why Paul wrote to the Ephesians. It's why it's the first thing. Give us a reason to praise God. Give us a reason to be thankful. What greater reason do we have? God chose you, and you are His through Christ. We have nothing else to fear, nothing to worry about. So now what do? We praise God. What else can we do? What other choice do we have? God who has done so much for us, God who has bent over backwards for us, who has won us salvation and life, we put our trust in Him, even if we don't know what the future holds. Because God has it in control. We praise and thank Him for what He has done. We respond to His word and to His will. Because God was going to do it all, if nothing else than the fact that He is God. So who receives the glory for it? I think this is where we really start to struggle. Because our sinful human nature wants to put the glory not in anybody else's possession, but in ours. We want a hand in this. And it can't be that way. This is how Paul ends. Verse 12 says, He, that is God, did this so that His glory would be praised as a result of us, who were the first to hope in Christ. In Him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in Him, when you also believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession, so that His glory would be praised. Why does God go to such lengths to choose you? Why does God go through so much trouble to save you? Well, if nothing else, God does it for His own glory, because this is who He is, and He can't stop being who He is. God does it for His glory, but it's for our benefit. So who gets the credit? This is where we struggle, isn't it? You know the answer to this, don't you? Who gets the credit for your salvation? God does. Now let me ask you this. Because of our sinful nature, who do you try to give the credit for your salvation? Me. We do that about everything. The world does that as a whole. That is why in almost every single religion in the world, in fact, I would dare say every religion in the world, save for scriptural-based Christianity, we're saved by what we do. We're saved by how we act. That's why most people, even within Christianity, if they ever get asked that question, are you going to get to go to heaven, when you ask them why, they'll default to, I've been a pretty good person. It doesn't matter if I've been a good person or not. It does to sinful nature, because that's something I did. Look at any religion out there in the world. How is it that you receive this celestial power? How is it that you get to go on to the next realm? It's based upon what you've done in life, how you have acted, how you've treated one another. Have you been a good person? Have you been true to yourself? And that's what we focus on in our society too. Be true to yourself. Push forward. Why? Because it's focused on me. And if there's anything I like paying attention to, it's me. It's selfishness. Really, in the end, that's what it all boils down to. And that's what so many decisions in our life end up being. It ends up being selfish, because I want the world to look at me better, because I want the world to think I'm so great, because I want to gain all of my benefits. I don't care about the people around me. I want to have this. That's sin at its core within us. And even if we're able to battle it away, it still nags at us in the back of our mind. And then comes to our salvation, and we want to be able to take some credit for it. We want to be the ones who say, well, I got myself here. And how it's so easily disguised within even Christianity. So that when somebody says, how is it that you are saved? And the response is, I chose to believe in Christ. Sounds so subtle, doesn't it? But again, if that statement is true, then who gets the glory for salvation? I do. Because I chose Him, or I decided not to reject Him, as if the power was ever within me in my sinful state. It can't be that way. God is the one who receives the glory. God is the one who chose us before we ever thought, before we ever breathed. And so God gets the glory now. That's why we respond today the way we do. We praise God because He did it all. And I don't want it to be any other way. Because if God did it all, He did it right. I don't have to worry about it falling apart. Let me put it this way. I know how to swing a hammer. I know how to use a screwdriver. I'm not going to build my own home. I have the basic rudimentary tools to do what is necessary. But I'm going to let somebody who's a professional do it. Because I have a feeling that it'll all crash around me if I try to do it on my own. Maybe you can do the same or say the same. If that doesn't work for you, figure out a different analogy. I'm sure you can. There's things we won't do for ourselves. We let someone who is better trained, who has the experience, who has the expertise do it. God is the only one who knows how to work salvation and to bring people to heaven. Let Him do it. And He did. Why? Because God chose you through faith, through the blood of Christ, to be His. You may want to know more about your future, but this is one part of it you can be guaranteed of. If you're that person who peeks at the last chapter of a book because you want to know how it all ends, you know how your story ends. It ends, if we stay faithful to Christ, with us in heaven. Not based on us, not based on what we do, but because of what Christ has already accomplished and what God has chosen before the world even began, that you would be His. So praise Him, because God sees your future and He's already set it in Christ. Amen.